محمد بن عبد الله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأزكى التسليم. الشاهد من الكلام، سنتكلم إن شاء الله عن حقوق الوالدين سواء كانوا كفار أو كانوا من فرق الضلال أو كانوا من أهل الإيمان والإسلام، فإن الله عز وجل قد أمر المسلم بالبر لوالديه ولو كانوا كفار، بل وإن كانوا أعداء لله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بحدود قد حدها رب السماوات والأرض في كتابه العزيز. يس.
Praise of Allah. Sending salat upon Allah's Messenger. Today he will speak about the rights of the parents. And the rights of the parents, even if they are unbelievers, even if the parents are from deviant sects, or the parents are from the people of Iman and Islam, whichever the case, then Allah the Most High has indeed ordered the Muslim with good treatment of his parents, even if they are unbelievers, and even if they are enemies of Allah and His Messenger. And Allah has laid this down in His book and laid down the limits for this very obedience.
ولكن بحدود شرعية قد حدها الله عز وجل. فأما عن الحالة الأولى فقد قال الله عز وجل: وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. إذن الأب والأم إن كانوا من الكفار لا بد من مصاحبتهما في الدنيا معروفة، ولو بذلوا الوسع والطاقة في أن ترتد عن الإسلام وأن تكفر بالله جل وعلا، بل لا بد من المصاحبة الطيبة لهما دون الموافقة على ما استعانوا به من ضلالك وكفرك، أي لا طاعة لهم في ذلك، ولكن لا بد من مصاحبتهما في الدنيا معروفة. وسنذكر كيف تكون هذه المصاحبة التي هي بالمعروف.
But this obedience and good treatment of the parents is according to principles in the Sharia, according to those principles, principles which Allah has laid down Himself. So in the first situation, that the parents are unbelievers, that we find the ayah that was mentioned with regard to the parents who are unbelievers, and mentioned with the meaning that if the parents strive to make you commit shirk, they try to make you commit shirk, that you should not obey them in that, but should still live in a good manner along with them in this world. You don't obey them in the shirk, but you obey them, still live in a good manner in this world. So if the father and the mother are unbelievers, then you must live along with them in a good manner in this world. even if they are striving to make you leave Islam, striving to make you an unbeliever, still you must live with them and treat them in a good manner. Without agreeing with them or conforming with their wish that you should be an unbeliever, or without agreeing and conforming with their unbelief. But how is this behavior, how is this living along with them, how is it going to be? Sheikh said that we will mention what that is, how it is to be.
المصاحبة بالمعروف على رأس هذه المصاحبة الدعوة لهم بالغيب بالهداية إلى الإسلام. أن يدعو لهم الله عز وجل أن يهتدوا إلى هذا الدين حتى يخرجوا من الخلود في جهنم والعياذ بالله. وهذا كان هدي السلف رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. فلذلك فيما صح كما رواه البخاري في المفرد أن أبا هريرة كان له أم كافرة، وكان كما في الرواية وكان أبا هريرة محبوب ما يسمع به أحد حتى يتقبل كلامه سواء من اليهود أو النصارى، ولكن أمه ما تقبلت منه ذلك، فأشكل عليه الأمر حتى ذهب إلى النبي يسأله الدعاء لأمه بالهداية، فدعا لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالهداية، فذهب إليها كعادته بالزيارة. هنا الملاحظة، أي كان دؤوب على زيارتها والحرص في ذلك، ولو كانت مشركة فهذا فعل السلف. وفي يوم من الأيام بعد أن دعا لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طرق عليها الباب رحمكم الله، وإذا بها قد أسلمت فذهب إلى النبي يبشره بذلك ويسأله الدعاء له، وما زال قلبه متعلق بالبر ولها وما زال قلبه متعلق بالبر لأمه، فقال يا رسول الله ادعوا لي ولها أيضا بعد إسلامها. فدعا لهما محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي هريرة ولأمه رضي الله عنهم جميعا. فهذا من المصاحبة بالمعروف، وهذا المثال الأول. نعم.
So this living along with them in a good manner and good treatment, how it is to be, at the head of it is that you supplicate for them in their absence. You supplicate for them that they should become guided, and that they should be guided to Islam, so that they should be saved from the fire of hell. And this indeed is the way of the Salaf, that they have this concern for them, and they would supplicate for them. And Imam al-Bukhari quotes an authentic narration in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad from Abu Huraira, whose mother was an unbelieving woman. And Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, he was a person who was beloved to the people. such that when any Jews or Christians they heard his words, they would love what they heard. But despite this, and he tried with his mother, but despite this, she would not accept Islam. So he, Abu Huraira radiallahu anh, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he should supplicate for her. So he did so. So anyway, Abu Huraira radiallahu anh visited his mother, and he used to do this frequently. He was a person and he would frequently visit his mother, as the narration mentions. So here we see the point that this was from their way, that even though his mother was a mushrik woman, yet still he used to visit her and have the concern for her. So he asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well to supplicate for her, to make dua for her. So he did so. So one day when he went to visit her, he knocked on the door and entered and found that she had accepted Islam. So he was obviously extremely pleased with this and went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him of this good news. And even after this, still his good treatment continued, and he didn't forget it. And he asked there and then that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make supplication again for him and for his mother, radiallahu anhuma. So this is the first example.
المثال الثاني وهو من البر والإحسان لهما أن تبيع الدنيا لهما، فإذا أرادوا شيء من هذه الدنيا ما بخلت فيه لهم، لأنك تريد أن تشتري بهذه الدنيا وتلين الكلام معها، لا ترفع الصوت، فإن رفع الصوت مقابل الأب أو الأم كان ذلك من سخط الله والعياذ بالله. ولو كنت على حق بقول الله تعالى ولا تقل لهما أف. وهذا الدليل ظاهر، وهو قياس أولوي، ها، من باب أولى، أي أن الإنسان لا يجب عليه أن يقول أف، فكيف يجوز له أن يرفع صوته أو أن يتكلم بكلام بذيء أمامهما؟ وهذا من سخط الله والعياذ بالله. وما زال الكلام عن من؟ عن الوالدين الذين هم إيش؟ الذين هم إيش يا أخوان؟ هم ما هم من أهل الإسلام، بل هم من المشركين، ومن الذين يجاهدونك على الشرك والكفر والعياذ بالله.
So this is what the Salaf were upon, and this is why we find an authentic narration which Al-Bukhari brings in his Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said to a man, and he knew that this man had a mother. He said to him, if you speak kindly, you make your words kind and lenient with her, and you feed her the food, then you will enter paradise. So this means that you speak kindly and you do not raise your voice to the parents. And raising the voice to the parents is something that causes Allah's wrath, causes Allah to be angry, even if what you are saying to them is something true, is the truth. Then this is something that causes Allah's anger. And the ayah was mentioned that you should not even say uff to them. This word of displeasure is if you're just a bit displeased with something from them. Uff. Whatever, you wouldn't even say it's the slightest thing of disapproval, like that. You don't even say that. So that's forbidden by the ayah. So how so about something which is worse than that? Saying something even worse with your mouth to them. Then this is even worse. If you cannot even say this thing. So that anything spoken in anger and badly against the parents is something from which causes Allah to be angry. And all of this is still with regard to the parents who are mushriks, who are not Muslims. And indeed parents who seek to cause you to become an unbeliever and seek to cause to make you leave Islam. This is with regard to them.
وَيَا أَخِي وَيَا أُخْتَاهُ لَابُدَّ مِنَ الشُّعُورِ أن الفرصة محدودة لإخراج الأب أو الأم من نار جهنم. الفرصة محدودة متى ما أتى الأجل لأحد الطرفين سواء الوالدين أو الأبناء ينتهي الأمر ومآلهما إلى جهنم خالدين فيها. فإذا كنت محب مشفق مخلص لهما ألا ترى أن الأمر يستحق؟ فوالله لو واظبت على هذه الأخلاق الحميدة وجعلت هذا الأمر ديدا لك أي دائما كل يوم وكأن الأمر وظيفة عمل دائما أنت مستمر معهم بهذا الحال مع الأمر الثاني وهو الدعاء لهم والسجود لله عز وجل ورفع اليد في الليل لهما حتى يتقبل الله عز وجل الدعاء فتهتدي هذه القلوب العاصية الكافرة بالله جل وعلا. فوالله إن الفرصة محدودة والأمر بيدك وإن كان الأمر بمشيئته جل وعلا، ولكن لا بد أن تسعى، فإن الله كريم ورحيم، إن الله كريم ورحيم، وكما قال محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أن القلوب بين إصبعي الرحمن يقلبهما كما شاء، فاخضع له جل وعلا وذل له في سجودك له جل وعلا، ووحده حق التوحيد ونبذل الشرك والبدع. فوالله لو واظبت على هذين الأمرين وهم الأول الدعاء كما قلنا والخضوع لله عز وجل والسؤال له جل وعلا وحده بهدايتهم وتليين هذه القلوب العاصية المشركة، والأمر الثاني حسن الأدب والمصاحبة معهم، وهذا لا يكون بالشهر مرة. لاحظ هذه الملاحظة العظيمة، لا يكون الأمر بالشهر مرة أو بالأسبوع مرة، بل تجعل ذلك دائم متردد عليهم لقضاء الحوائج لهم ولتقبيلهم وإناسهم أيضا. فوالله سيكون أمر هذا الأمر لو واظبت من اليوم يا أخي ويا أختي أيضا، لو واظبتم على هذا الأمر من اليوم فوالله لو رأيتكم بعد 6 أشهر إن شاء الله لنجد إن شاء الله أن الله عز وجل إن شاء الله تقبل هذا الدعاء وخضعت قلوبهم بهذه الآداب الرفيعة إن شاء الله.
So, oh brother and oh sister, the chance that you have with the unbelieving parents to save the father and save the mother from the hellfire is something limited. There is a limited period and an end to this chance. And so when the time comes, when the appointed time comes, either the parents will die or you will die, and that will be the end of the chance. And if the parents are unbeliever, and they'll go into the hellfire, and they'll remain eternally forever in the hellfire. So if you indeed love and have feelings for your parents and are sincere in this, then don't you think that it deserves your attention? And if you were to continually be upon these good manners and good treatment towards them that was mentioned, and you made it your constant habit that you are always upon this good treatment towards them, as if it were your job, this is your job and your whole work was to do this. If that is how you behaved, and you behaved well like this, plus you also supplicated to Allah, and you made sajda to Allah, and called upon Him, and raised your hands in the night time, and called upon Him to guide these parents, then, and that Allah should guide their hearts, their disobedient and their unbelieving hearts, ask Him to guide them. So the matter is there for you to deal with. You should do something. You should deal with it, even though all the affairs are what Allah wills, but there is for you there to strive. And Allah is indeed the most generous and the most merciful. And as occurs in the authentic hadith, that indeed the hearts are between two of the fingers of the most merciful, and He turns the hearts as He wills. So you should strive to supplicate to Him, and to make sajda to Him, and to be obedient and submit to Him, and to single Him out in worship, and to remove any trace of shirk from yourself, and any innovation from yourself, and to do with these two things, first for your parents, that you supplicate for them, and you worship your Lord and be humble to your Lord, and ask Him that He guides them, and secondly, that you are constant in your good treatment of them. Not that once a month you remember them and treat them well, once a month, or once a week or something like that. No, constantly and always you treat them well. And you fulfill their needs. And you kiss them, and you treat them well, and you do whatever they need. And you do it from today. And if this was the case, that you did this, then after 6 months, if Allah wills, then we would find that Allah would accept your supplications on their behalf.
فإن لم تشعر يا أخي بعظم هذا الأمر فاعلم إنك سقيم. فاعلم يا أخي إنك سقيم إذا ما شعرت بعظم هذا الأمر في حقهما. أي العناية بهم والاستعداد في البذل لهم لإخراجهم مما هم فيه. فإن والله مآلهم جهنم خالدين فيها وبئس المصير. نسأل الله السلامة. وهنا ملاحظة لا بد من بيانها، قد بوب لها البخاري في الأدب المفرد باب لا يستغفر للأب أو الأم المشركة، ما يجوز الاستغفار لهم، ولكن يجوز الدعاء لهم بالهداية. فلذلك والدليل على ذلك ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولو قربى. هذا بخصوص من كان أبوه وأمه على الشرك والكفر، وأما إن كان الأب والأم على بدعة أو فرقة من فرق الضلال كبريلوي أو ما شابه ذلك من هذه البدع، فسنتكلم عنها الآن.
And if you do not feel the importance of this matter, the, importance of giving attention to your parents and seeking to help them to be saved from the hellfire, if you don't think this is important and you don't give importance to it, then you should realize that you are sick. You are sick and ill. Rather, you should seek to do your best and to give anything in this world that you can to help them. Otherwise, if they end upon this, they end upon unbelief, then your parents will be in the hellfire forever and ever. And we ask Allah to save us from this. And as Al-Bukhari mentions in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he mentions the chapter heading that something we can't do for them, unbelieving parents, we cannot seek forgiveness for them. We are not allowed to seek forgiveness for them. Rather, we are allowed though to make supplication that they be guided, that Allah guides them. We can do that. If they are alive. And the proof was the ayah which the Shaykh mentioned, with the meaning that it is not for the believers and the Prophet to seek forgiveness for the unbelievers, even if they are near relatives. It's not allowed to seek forgiveness for near relatives even, if they are unbelievers. So this proceeded was with regard to parents who are unbelievers. And then we'll follow, what about the parents who are not kafirs? They are people of innovations and misguidance.
أما الحالة الثانية وهي أن الأم مسلمة ولكنها من أهل البدع ومن فرق الأهواء نسأل الله السلامة. فهذه الأم تعامل معاملة المسلمة، أي لها حق الدعاء لها حتى بالاستغفار، لا كما هو حال المشركة الكافرة، وهذا أمر عظيم جدا في حقها، وهذا ابتلاء قد ابتلاك الله به، لأن هناك من ولد وأبواه من أهل التوحيد، وهناك من كان أبواه من أهل البدع، فهذا قدر الله فيك، والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره من الدين، فلا بد لك أن تصبر وتحتسب وتستعين بالحق الكتاب والسنة، وفي انتهاج هذا المنهج الحق للوصول إلى دعوتهما إلى الخير. وأريد أن أذكر هنا بمقام عظيم لسعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه. سعد بن أبي وقاص كان شديد البر في أمه، واشتهر في ذلك حق الشهرة، ولكنه بعد أن أسلم وأمه ما زالت على الكفر، قالت أمه: لن أأكل ولن أشرب حتى ترجع عن دينك، دين محمد هذا تكفر به، لن أشرب لن أأكل حتى ترجع عن هذا. فما رجع عن هذا الدين وبقى، فأتوا الناس إليه فقالوا: أمك كذا وكذا جرى عليها. قال: والله لو كانت لها 100 نفس وخرجت نفسا نفسا على أن أرجع عن هذا الدين، والله ما رجعت. ولكن الشاهد هنا أن الله جل وعلا أنزل في هذا المقام قوله تعالى: وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا. فكان سبب نزول هذه الآية بسبب هذه القصة التي ذكرناها.
Then if the mother is from is a Muslim but she is from the people of innovation and the people of deviant sects, and we ask Allah to save us from that, then she is to be treated as a Muslim, and you may supplicate for her guidance, you should supplicate for her guidance and for her forgiveness even. And this situation is a test for you. It's a test which Allah has given to you. And some people are born and their parents are from the people of Tawheed. And some people are born and Allah has made it that their parents are the people of innovation. This is what was decreed for you. And the decree, belief in what Allah has decreed and laid down will occur with us. This is part of our belief. It is essential. So we should have patience and await and seek reward through that, and seek the help that we find in the book and the sunnah to call our parents to the truth. And there occurs a narration concerning Sa'id ibn Abi Waqqas, who was well known for his extreme good treatment of his mother. He was well known, in fact very well known for that. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. But when he entered into it, this was before Islam, he was well known for treating his mother very well. When he entered into Islam, then his mother didn't enter into Islam. She refused. And even to the point that she wanted to force him to leave Islam. And what she did, she said, I will not eat. I will never eat. And I will never drink at all until you abandon this religion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until you leave this religion, I will not eat and drink. So the people came. Of course he didn't leave it. He wouldn't leave it. So people came to him and said, this is what is happening with your mother. This is what is happening to her. So he replied to them and he said, even if she had 100 souls and each soul left her one by one, each soul died one by one, then that I should leave this religion, I would still never leave it. And it was with regard to this incident that Allah sent down the ayah, which was quoted and which we heard earlier, with the meaning that if your parents seek to strive you to make you do shirk, then you should not obey them. But you should live with them in a good manner in this world.
فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ مُرَاعَاتِ حال هذه الأم ومما هي فيه من شبه وإيرادات قد غزت القلب والعقل، نسأل الله السلامة. فلا بد من علاج هذه الحالة كالمرض، بل هو أشد، نسأل الله السلامة، لأن المريض قد ينال الأجر بسبب المرض، أما هي عليه فعليها الوزر، نسأل الله السلامة. فلا بد من معالجة هذه الحالة بطرق، ومنها تحاول أن تؤدي لها ما ذكرناه في حق الأم والأب المشرك كما ذكرنا، من حيث أمرين: حسن العشرة، ومن حيث الدعاء لله عز وجل والذل له. والأمر الذي أذكره في هذا المقام أيضا، وأيضا يستخدم في المقام الأول، وأن نأتي برسائل وكتيبات فنضعها في البيت، دون أن نقول للأب اقرأ، ولا نقول للأم اقرأي هذه الرسالة، ولا نقول اسمع هذا الشريط، بل أحاول أن أضع هذا الشريط في سيارته وأتركه، وأحاول أن أأتي بشريط وأضعه كذلك في إيش؟ في البيت وأتركه، وهذا من الحكمة. فسيأتي اليوم إن شاء الله، وهذا مع الدعاء لله عز وجل، لعل الله عز وجل يفتح قلب الأم أو الأب لقراءة هذه الرسالة أو سماع هذا الشريط. هذه الطريقة الأولى. طريقة ثانية، أن أجمع شيء من المال وأخذ أمي أو الأب إلى السعودية إلى العمرة من مالي، وهذا فضل عظيم أن تأخذ الأم أو الأب إلى 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 العمرة إلى بيت الله، وتقول لها سنذهب إلى مسجد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهناك تحاول أن تلتقي معها بالعلماء والأفاضل فتستمع إلى كلامهم، وهناك من يتكلم باللغات المختلفة في هذه البلدان، فلذلك ستسعد لفعلك وسترى أن هؤلاء العلماء بعيدون، وبل ستقول انظري إلى هذه الجزيرة العربية لا يوجد فيها ضريح واحد، كل الجزيرة ما فيها مزار واحد أو ضريح واحد.
So the brother or the sister should keep in their mind the condition of the mother in this case and the state that she is upon, being upon innovation and misguidance, and should bear in mind that this is due because of doubts which she will have, doubts and things which she thinks are correct and which are not correct, they are very wrong, and because of doubts which have got the better of her mind and got the better of her heart. We ask Allah to save us from that. So for these doubts she needs a cure, the mother or the father in this case, they need a cure, because they are ill, they are sick people, and indeed they are worse than sick people, because a person who is ill, if he has patience over the illness and bears it with patience, then he gets reward. But the sickness they are upon, the sickness of misguidance and innovation, this is a sickness which can only add to their sin, and they will not get reward for keeping upon that. So how is this to be cured? We already said that with regard, the Sheikh already said that with regard to the unbelieving parent, first you treat them in a good manner continually, and secondly you seek to worship your Lord and humble yourself to your Lord and to call upon him for their guidance. And with regard to these parents here who are upon innovation and misguidance, then for example the first way is that you obtain small booklets for them. You obtain small good booklets and you put these in the house. You put them in the house. And you don't need to try and force them and say, here, read. You must read this to your father, you must read this, or to your mother, you know, read this and then obtain tape. Leave it in his car. Leave it somewhere in the house for the mother, like this. And this is from the wisdom. And the day will come, inshallah, that along with your dua that you supplicate on their behalf, then perhaps Allah will cause them to listen and will cause them to read this and be benefited and guided through that. And the second way that you can use to cure this is that you gather wealth, and with that wealth you spend and you take them to make Hajj, or you take them to make Umrah, take them to Saudi to make Hajj or to make Umrah, and take them to Mecca, and take them to Medina, and to the mosque of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And
from your money,
from your own money you've gathered, and you get them to meet the scholars there, who have access to the scholars there, so that they can speak and see and hear what they have to say. And there are scholars there who speak in different languages as well, and you will see how the scholars will be able to make things clear to them, maybe things that couldn't be clear before, and they will see with their own eyes. And you can say to them, look, here in this land here, there is not a single shrine. There is not a single shrine or grave or something which is worshipped or you know, is treated in this manner. There is nothing like that here.
لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. لن يقول البعض لن الزمخشرية تفيد النفي التأبيدي، وإن كنا نختلف مع هذه القاعدة. لن تنال البر حتى تنفق مما تحب، فكيف بالوالدين؟ والله أجمع ليل نهار حتى أوفر هذا المال، فأخذ بأمي وأبي إلى هذه الديار المباركة، فلعل القلوب تخضع ولعل الأهواء والشبه تندثر، فالبقاء في هذه الأوبئة المريضة زيادة للشبه والإرادات.
The Sheikh mentioned the ayah لن تنال البر to the end of the ayah with the meaning that you will not attain birr, you will not attain goodness until you spend from that which you love. And he mentioned that Az-Zamakhshari, he mentioned this lan means something will never happen. It will never happen. Even if the Shaykh says that we disagree with him in his principle. So, if you can, this cannot be attained, goodness cannot be attained, except by spending from that which you love, then how about with regard to the parents and good treatments of the parents? Indeed then, we can see that the person should work day and night to strive to attain wealth which he can spend on their behalf in this good way, and take them over there for Hajj or Umrah, and maybe the hearts will accept the truth and come to accept the truth through that way, and that the doubts and innovations may pass away through that. And indeed, just living in this atmosphere here, this sick atmosphere, it just helps.
لوجود هذه الشبه والإرادات وأتباعهم.
It will just help to continue these doubts and these sicknesses in people's hearts, because these false ideas, and they have followers in this country, and they have backing in this country. So leaving the parents in this country will only seek to continue these sicknesses.
وأما عن بر الوالدين المؤمنين المسلمين أهل الحديث أهل السنة أهل الأثر فكيف نبتدئ وماذا نقول؟ إنه مقام عظيم وإنه مفاز كبير قد من الله عز وجل عليك به، فهل تقدر هذا الأمر؟ تفكر يا أخي، لو كان الأمر على خلاف ذلك، لو كان هذا الأب أو الأم مشركة، لو كان الأب والأم أهل بدع وضلال وينافحون فيما هم فيه، فلله الحمد والمنة أنه قد من عليك بوالدين سلفيين يحبون الدين من منابعه النقية.
So how the next case, the case when the parents are believers, the parents are Muslims, the parents are people of Hadith, the parents are people of the Sunnah and the narrations of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then how can we begin to speak about this matter and the greatness of this? And indeed, if this is the case with you, it is a great blessing which Allah has blessed you with. So what importance do you give it? You should think, what if it was something different? What if your case was not like this? What if your parents or one of your parents was a mushrik? What if one of your parents was a person of innovation who opposed you all the time? So you should remember, if you have a Salafi parent, one who loves the deen of Allah, the correct deen, and loves to take it from its correct sources, from the book and the sunnah.
وإني أختم الكلام بهذا الحديث العظيم، وهو لا يجزي ولد والده أو أمه بأي حال من الأحوال إلا في حالة واحدة، وما سواها فلن يجزي، أي لن يعطيهم الحق الكامل بحال من الأحوال، ولو وضع الأم والأب فوق رأسه على الحقيقة للمجاز، وهي الحالة الوحيدة أن يكون هناك رق لأحد الوالدين أو كلاهما فيعتقهم، أو يعتق الأب أو الأم، وهذا اليوم ما فيه. أما ما سوى ذلك فالوالدين لن نقابلهم بالجزاء فيما صنعوا، وهذا ما قاله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كما رواه البخاري في الأدب المفرد: لا يجزي ولد والده، لا يجزي ولد والده، فما تؤديه في حقهما فأنت مقصر، فأنت مقصر. نسأل الله السلامة، ويكفي هذا الحديث.
And the Sheikh mentioned that he will complete the talk with a very great and important hadith, which shows that the son or the daughter will not fulfill the rights of their mother or their father, except in one case. And that otherwise, except that one case, they will not attain what the parents deserve. Even if he took his parents and put them on his head, both of them, took the mother and the father and put them on his head, still it wouldn't attain their rights. It wouldn't reach that. And meaning this is something real, not just an imaginary case. Even if you did that literally, it still wouldn't reach what they deserve and their due. And the one case is that if one or both of the parents were slaves, they were enslaved, and you bought them and set them free, spent to free them from that slavery, then you would attain their due. Otherwise, and there is no slavery today, so you cannot attain it. You cannot attain the due right of your parents. So otherwise, their due will not be attained, as shown by the hadith which Al-Bukhari quotes in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a child will not give the due rights of its mother. It will not give the due rights of its mother. What he does mean will not be sufficient. What he does will not be sufficient for the mother to reach the due. So whatever you do, all this good treatment that we've mentioned, this striving, even if you do it, and you must do it, but you cannot think that you will have attained their due of what they deserve. So ask Allah to save us and grant us that which is good.
هل هناك وقت حتى أتكلم عن الزواج أم أمسك؟ أتكلم إذن بربع ساعة ومن ثم سأتوقف. أم نعمل هذا بشريط في لندن ونرسل إليكم؟ هذا تريدون هكذا أفضل؟ ها؟ إن شاء الله أنا أعدكم إن شاء الله أن نصنع إن شاء الله نتكلم في شريط في لندن، لأن اليوم أنا سأقادر إن شاء الله. والشريط الأول عشرة النساء على منهج خاتم الأنبياء، نعمل شريط بهذا العنوان، وسنذكر فيه إن شاء الله كيف تكون حلول للمشاكل التي هي يعني واقعة بين الزوج وزوجته، سواء من الأسباب الطبيعية اللي هي كاختلاف الأخلاق والعادات أو غير ذلك، أو من الأسباب المادية إلى غير ذلك إن شاء الله. ونذكر ما كان عليه هدي النبي والسلف في هذا الموضوع، وسنتكلم أيضا في شريط آخر كيف لمن لم يتزوج من النساء والرجال كيف يبنى البيت السلفي الصحيح وما هي مقومات هذا البيت.
So the Sheikh mentioned that he gives you the promise that he will, because today he has to leave today and go down to London inshallah, that he will do these talks which we just mentioned in London, and the tape will be delivered to Birmingham inshallah. The first tape with regard to manners of dealing with the women, how to deal and treat the women upon the methodology and the way of the final messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how to cure problems, to clear up the problems that occur in marriages, and which may be just natural problems due to different manners, people having different manners and having to live together, or problems due to wealth or whatever, and describe the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the pious predecessors, the Salaf, in this matter. And the second tape, for the unmarried man or the unmarried woman, how to build the Salafi household, and how to found a Salafi household. And the structure of this, that upholds this house.
جزاكم الله خير وأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أي معنك
if there are any questions now, then the Sheikh is open to questions.
بخصوص الموضوع.
Questions particularly about this topic.
اللي قال خارج الموضوع ما تقبل.
No. Questions outside this topic won't be accepted.
Sheikh, how do you deal with problems in terms of your parents, if you have parents, and your problems with your parents and the wife? The parents hate the wife, and the wife doesn't like the parents. What do you do then? They have a lot of these problems.
العدل واجب شرعي. العدل واجب شرعي في حق كل مكلف، سواء كنت ولي عليه أم هو خارج عن ولايتك، هذا أمر. وفي المقابل لا بد من مراعاة الوالدين وعدم إيذائهم، وهذا فيه شيء من الصعوبة، وهذا فيه شيء من الصعوبة. كيف يتحقق هذا؟ هناك أسباب عديدة وتختلف من مقام إلى مقام. فمثال ذلك، أيستطيع هذا الرجل ولو تكلف بعض الشيء أن يخرج عن البيت ولا يسبب ذلك إزعاج لوالديه، حتى يقلل نسبة الاحتكاك بين الوالدين أو الأم والزوجة؟ فإن استطاع ذلك فواجب عليه أداءه حتى يتخلص من إيذاء يعني الوالدة للزوجة، وبنفس الوقت يحقق البر للأم. وأيضا هناك أمر لا بد من استشعاره والشعور به، وهو أن يسأل الله عز وجل العون في هذه الأمور. لا تبتعد عن الله، فإن الله عز وجل يعين ويغير، فكيف به وهو الذي يغير القلوب؟ فلذلك لا بد من هذا الأمر. وكذلك ذكر هذه الزوجة بحقوق الأم والأب من حيث الجانب الشرعي عليك، ووضعها في الصورة، ولكن مقدمة الكلام ظاهرة لا بد من العدل. وأنا أعلم أن هذا عبء ثقيل، عبء ثقيل، ولكن هذه الحياة ابتلاءات. رجل يصاب بالسرطان، رجل يصاب بالفقر، رجل يصاب بإيش؟ بتهمة في عرضه، رجل يصاب بإيش؟ بشلل، رجل يصاب في إيش؟ في جلطة، رجل يصاب. هذه الدنيا ابتلاء، الدنيا لا تتصور الدنيا جنة، الدنيا دار ممر، والدنيا كما قال محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ها الدنيا بالنسبة للإنسان كالقابض على الجمرة، وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن المؤمن. فلذلك لا تتصور أنت تريد السعادة، أنت تريد أن تجلس في فندق 5 نجوم، لا يا أخي، هذه حياة عبء وتكاليف، ولا بد من الخروج منها إلى الجنة، إنها اختبار. فتذكر حالتك وأنت في أيام الاختبارات ها، وأنت صغير كنت تكره هذا المقام، ولكن عندما أديت الحق الذي عليك في الاختبار كانت النتيجة بالسعادة، ولكن لحظات الاختبار كانت تعيسة. فهذه التكاليف فيها مشقة.
The question was with regard to problems when the wife has problems with the parents of the husband, and they have problems with her, and there's trouble between them. So the Sheikh mentioned the answer that in this case, as in any other case, justice is an obligation in the Sharia, that you bring about justice. And this is upon everybody. Everybody who's bound by the Sharia, they must bring about justice. Justice with regard to those who are under some, you're in authority over them, or anybody that you deal with. You must deal with them with justice. And with regard to the parents, then you must treat them in the good manner and not harm the parents. So the Sheikh mentioned that in this case, obviously you have the wife there whom you have to treat with justice, and the parents whom you have to treat well. And there's trouble between them, then it is something hard to accomplish both of these things. But it must be done. And how this can be achieved, then there are different ways, and it will vary from case to case. But, for example, if the problem is because they're all living in one single house, the wife along with the in-laws of hers, then the husband's parents meaning, then if the man can leave the house and move to a different house without harming the parents or causing trouble to the parents. If he can do that, then it's better, if it will reduce the level of the trouble. There may still be some friction, but less of it if he moves to a different house. And still, he must. In that case, he would still treat the mother in a good manner and treat her well. So they should realize the situation, that the husband and the wife should be aware and realize. And he, as well, should ask Allah to help him. And should not, they shouldn't be from those who move, who are far from Allah. No. They should remember that Allah indeed helps, and He changes the hearts. And indeed He helps, and He changes the situation. And how can He not change the situation? Allah is the one who indeed even changes the hearts of the people. So the husband should remind the wife, of the rights in the Sharia that the parents have. And she should consider that. But again, it needs justice, and it is something difficult, and it is a heavy task. But this life is a heavy task, because, for example, a man may be struck in this life, a person may be struck with cancer. This is difficulty. A person may be struck with poverty. This is what this life is like. A person may be struck with poverty. A person may be, his honor may be destroyed. Other problems that were mentioned may come upon that person. But that is what this life is like, and this life has to be gone through. And the problems in this world can make a person that he has to be like a person who's grabbing onto a hot coal, a burning hot coal, he has to grab onto that. That's what this life is like. And it was described as being the prison of the believer. So it's not, a prison is not a 5-star hotel. You expect that you're going to live in a 5-star hotel and enjoy all the luxuries. This is not what this life is like. Rather, it is a hardship and a toil. And it's a test for you. So you strive in this test just as you strive to learn for an examination. You strive and you toil for that, just to get some pass marks. So how about something this life that you strive in this regard for something like this? The question is, if our parents who are not Muslims, or even Muslim, and they enter the hellfire, and we enter paradise, inshallah, will we remember them?
Allah a'lam. ما عندي دليل في هذا الشيء بالنسبة لعلمي طبعا.
Sheikh mentioned, and it is no shame, rather it is part of knowledge that the Sheikh mentioned that Allah knows best about this question. The Sheikh does not have knowledge of that matter.
ولكن عندي يعني عن إبراهيم أن والده يحول إلى صورة بشعة، فهل هذا يستنبط منه هذا الأمر أنه يعرف والديه؟ ولكن السؤال طبعا عن إذا كان في الجنة، لأن في الجنة لا ينقص عليه شيء، وهذا يشعر بالنقص، أن الإنسان يشعر بأن والديه في النار. فالسؤال في الجنة، فلا أدري إذا كان الإنسان في الجنة هذا، وإن كان الظاهر يعني، ولكن هذا ولا نقول ظاهر، أعوذ بالله، استغفر الله وأتوب إليه، هذا يرجع إلى العقيدة ويرجع إلى العلماء إذا كان هناك دليل من قال الله وقال الرسول أو فهم للسلف رضي الله عنهم، واستغفر الله فيما قلت.
The Sheikh mentioned that all that comes to mind is the narration about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and on that day, and his father will be turned into some ugly form, some horrible form. He'll be there and then, and he'll see, and his father, he'll remember his father, and he'll be turned into ugly form, and then that will be the end of that. But this, whether you remember the parents in the paradise, if the parents are in the hellfire, then this is something that is a matter of belief, a matter of our creed, so it's something that needs a proof. So, it's something that needs a proof, and it's something that is to be referred back to the scholars. But there is a point that there is nothing, no deficiency in paradise. No deficiency there at all. And maybe the case that if a person is worried about parents are in the hellfire, that may be something of a deficiency. And Allah knows best. Is it permissible to eat from, if the parents are non-Muslims, is it permissible to eat from their dishes?
Inshallah, na'am. والحديث الذي قلت يعني لأن هنا فيه مخالفة للمصاحبة، ولا ممكن أن تصاحبهما بالدنيا معروفة إلا أن تخالطهم، والمخالطة يستلزم منها الأكل والشرب، وهم حالة خاصة، وهذا لزوم الدليل المصاحبة.
Then with regard to the question, the Sheikh mentioned, yes, that is permissible, because you have, as we heard, you have to live in a good manner with the parents, and living in a good manner with them, part of it obviously means that you have to be with them, and being with them and eating with them, otherwise, and that's an obligation that we live in a good manner, and if you cannot attain that, obviously, if you're not going to eat and be with them, you can't live with them in a good manner, so therefore that is not a problem, because living with them in a good manner is an obligation upon you, because of the texts about that. The question.
النساء خاصة أخذ أسئلتهم النساء فقط، أما الإخوة من خالف آخر النساء أهم كلها هي النساء. أيوة.
The question. My father is a Muslim, but he only prays and fasts in Ramadan. He cuts off with me due to us un-Islamic reasons. I try to keep contact with him, but he doesn't want to know me or see me. I fear that he will enter the fire due to severing ties with me, and this hurts me very much. I cannot express myself to my husband because he becomes upset or angry. If I say I want to see him because my father does not want to see me, and he fears harm coming to me and further problems. I understand my husband's reasons. Please advise me to help me to become stronger in this issue, because it hurts me very much.
هذه المواضع بلاء ولا شك، هذه المواضع بلاء، وأشد الناس بلاء هم الأنبياء، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. هذا بلاء، والله عز وجل عدل جل وعلا، فمن وضع في هذا البلاء له مقام عند الله في الأجر، على خلاف من كان في راحة من هذا الأمر. فالذرة معتبرة في ميزان الله، فكيف بهذا البلاء العظيم؟ فلذلك لا بد لك من الأمر الآتي: الذل لله، قيام الليل، رفع اليد يوم يومين ثلاثة أربعة خمسة، نستمر على هذه المنهجية، قيام الليل والدعاء لله والبكاء بين يديه جل وعلا حتى يتقبل الله عز وجل هذا الدعاء، وأن الإنسان يكون مطعمه من حلال وملبسه من حلال حتى يتقبل الله عز وجل دعاءه. فإذا تقرب إلى الله عز وجل بذلك فإن الله عز وجل كريم. والأمر الآخر أن مهما يجري من هذا الوالد لا تقاطعيه أبدا، وحاولي أن تبذلين الجهد. أما الزوج فذكريه يا أخي، ذكريه بعظم مآل من كان هذا مقامه، فلعل قلبه يلين ويعينك على الحق إن شاء الله.
Then with regard to the situation, the Sheikh mentioned that it is indeed a test and a trial, and that the people who receive the severest trials are the prophets, and then those who are most like them. The ones who are most like them, then they're next in severity of the trials. And the sister should remember that Allah is just, and that in such a situation as this, it will have a very high position with Allah, one who is in this position, in such trial, and is having patience with this trial, as opposed to somebody who hasn't got this trial, just in ease, then they will not have the same standing with Allah. Because even an atom's weight, it carries weight with Allah. So how about something as serious as something like this, that indeed will have a great standing with Allah? So what the sister should do in a case like this is first submit to Allah and humble herself to Allah and stand in prayer in the nights and raise up her hands in supplication and cry to Allah, so that Allah should accept her supplication in this regard, and make sure that the food and the clothing that they have is halal, so that Allah may accept their supplications. And she should do this and remember that Allah is indeed generous and gives. And whatever the father does, no matter what the father does, don't you cut off from him. Even what he does, don't you cut off from him. And remind the husband of this situation, that it's a difficult situation, and remind him of all this. And the last question: can we attend a non-Muslim parent's funeral?
Jinazatul walid غير المسلم.
Definitely. أي نعم يجوز. هذا ما قاله النبي لأحد الصحابة حينما مات أبوه وهو كافر. دفنة، ذهاب إلى دفنة، ولكن لا يشترك في عبادتهم أو طقوسهم، هذا حرام، هذا كفر والعياذ بالله. أن يصلي صلاتهم أو يفعل ما هم يعني فاعلون من حيث العبادة، هذا حرام والعياذ بالله. ولكن دفن الأب أو الأم فهذا ثبت وأجازه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Then with regard to this, then burial of the parent, then yes, burial, that is right and correct. But with regard to taking part in any part or form of their worship, then no. Praying along with them or any part of their prayer, forbidden. Worship, doing any part of their worship with them, this is forbidden. But with regard to burial of the parent, then this is established, and this was allowed by Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and something established. The burial just.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله وأسأل الله عز وجل العلي القدير أن يهدي هؤلاء المشركين
وأن يهدي العصاة ويهدي أهل البدع والضلال وأن يثبتنا على الحق. اللهم آمين.
The Sheikh made dua with regard on behalf of everybody and on behalf of these parents who are misguided or of sins or disbelievers, that Allah guides them and that Allah makes all the brothers and sisters firm upon the truth.